Talking now to our old friend Mike Wells, ESPN reporter covering the Indianapolis Colts. And, of course, there's a reason why I'm talking to Mike. It's Colts and Chiefs, 3:35 Saturday at Arrowhead Stadium. And, Mike, Chiefs fans are a little nervous around this town when they see that horseshoe. 0-4 in the playoffs against the Colts. Matter of fact, the Colts have 2 wins at Arrowhead Stadium in playoff history. The Chiefs have only 2 wins in playoff history at Arrowhead Stadium. That's not good, Mike.
That is not good. And I mean, and we haven't even talked about the last time these two teams played in the playoffs. Ugh. That game was in Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. And Andrew Luck, talking about horseshoes, he pulled the horseshoe out and leading the Colts from that come from behind victory. But I think it's more about the big picture. You look at the matchup of these two teams, the Chiefs clearly are the best offense in the NFL, averaging 34 points a game. And Patrick Mahomes, who I'm looking forward to seeing in person at Arrowhead Stadium. But the Colts, on the flip side, they're the hottest team in the NFL, winning 10 out of their last 11 games, ending a 5-game winning streak of Dallas, a 9-game winning streak of Houston. And so something's going to have to give on Saturday afternoon.
How does a team like the Colts make that transition? I've seen the Chiefs do it from 1-5 to start winning, and they did it when the Royals were in this postseason and nobody really paid attention. But how does a team make that transition? Is it simple as, you know, Coach Frank Reich finally getting pieces together, you know, getting Braden Smith the pass block now and stuff on that line? I mean, this draft was ridiculous with Nelson and Braden.
Well, I think the Colts had the best draft in the NFL. Maybe it's the whole Chris Ballard effect. I mean, Chris Ballard, who's the coach GM, was in the front office with the Chiefs, and 1-5, and made the playoffs, yeah. And now he's, you know, with the Colts after a 1-5 cover. I think in the big picture, I think it's a young roster. The young players probably grew up quicker than what many people expected. Andrew Luck's return played a factor. He finally started finding his groove again. And then Frank Reich, you know, he never panicked. I mean, Frank Reich is known as a comeback guy from his days when he played with Buffalo and then also when he's at the University of Maryland. So I think all those things factored into it. And I would tell you this, the locker room never kind of wavered when they were 1-5. A lot of teams, especially a team with a young roster, the young players may kind of give up a little bit and stuff. That never happened with this franchise, so you got to give the leadership credit in that area. So I don't think it was just one particular thing. I think it was a number of facets on why the Colts were able to bounce back from that 1-5 start.
Talking to Mike Wells at Mike Wells NFL on Twitter, covers the Colts for ESPN. How does the team go in that one loss mixed in this streak? They lose 6-0 to Jacksonville, and then a couple weeks later, you know, shut out the Dallas Cowboys 23-0. I mean, that's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde within just a couple of weeks. How'd that happen, Mike?
You know what? I think that was probably the best thing that happened for the Colts because, you know, you think about it, they go into week 17 needing to go on the road and beat the Tennessee Titans, who were quarterbacked by Blaine Gabbert in that game. And had the Colts not got shut out by Cody freaking Kessler in that game, you'd have been like, all right, maybe the Colts would have a chance to kind of, you know, let up and not be as focused against the Titans. I think getting shut out 6-0, the Cody Kessler made them realize they can't take anything for granted. And so that loss is kind of, it fueled them because after that, they went on the road the following week, beat Houston, which was on a 9-game winning streak, then came home and beat the Dallas team, who was on a 5-game winning streak. Two teams that made the playoffs. So they matured off of that game, and they just continued to get better. Young players continued to get better. Frank Reich's play call, and he walks in the stadium, and he feels like he's the smartest person in that stadium, which is great to see. That's why I can't wait to see two incredible play callers in Frank Reich and Andy Reid go back and forth with their offenses on Saturday.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And the Colts have a couple Kansas City guys. Braden Smith played right here in high school. Evan Bame that fills in at guard and center. Both Kansas City kids, so they're coming back. But, you know, there's been other interesting things to happen besides that 38-10 comeback. You know, we're talking about the 06 team when the Colts couldn't stop the run, giving up 173 yards a game, stopping the Chiefs' run completely. We're talking about 95 where Lynn Elliott misses 3 field goals and Jim Harbaugh beats him. I mean, this thing, it just continues and continues to be the boogeyman for the Kansas City Chiefs. But when you look at this matchup, the one blueprint, Mike, that I've seen, teams are trying to keep Mahomes off the field. And I know listening to Frank Reich the other day on Colts.com, you know, he's talking about they need to score points. They want to score points. But the running game, too. And he understands the importance of, you know, keeping Mahomes on the sideline. And that's, I think, one key to victory here. The Colts get a lead, and they just start to salt it away because Mahomes and Tyreek Hill can't hurt you when you're sitting over on the bench, and that's what the Chargers and Seahawks did to beat the Chiefs.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, it helps that the Colts have actually a decent running game. I mean, they had three games of at least 200 yards rushing, including 200 yards exactly against the Texans last weekend. Now, if you're able, like I said, you're able to keep Mahomes in that high-flying offense on the sideline, it's going to help it's going to help the Colts out in that area. And you got an offensive line that does not mind getting down, getting dirty, and dominating the line of scrimmage is going to play a factor. But the Frank Reich credit, maybe this was lip speak because he didn't want to, you know, tip his hands on what they want to do, but his goal was to get points and find a way to get points as quick as possible, however way it happens. And he has confidence in his defense. I mean, at the same time, though, his defense does not face an offense of the caliber of the Chiefs. In fact, they haven't faced the top 10 offense since week 4 against New England. That's when the Colts were still struggling defensively. So this is definitely going to be the ultimate test. And maybe their best defense may be with their offense and leaving Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs on the sideline.
But besides Mahomes, who do they fear on that offense, Tyreek Hill or Travis Kelce? And I say this, Tyreek Hill is clearly a more dynamic player, but the Colts have struggled against the tight end. And, you know, Travis Kelce has feasted this year, the second most yards ever by a tight end.
Oh, I would probably say Kelce. I'm curious on how they're going to, you know, try to defend him. You know, Darius Leonard, who, you know, is probably one of the front runners for the Rookie of the Year and should have been a Pro Bowl player. He loves being matched up and, you know, dropping out, showing his athleticism. But I'm going to call it even. I'm going to call it even because, you know, the Colts are in, you know, dealing with some injuries at the safety spot. The veteran Mike Mitchell was placed on IR with a calf injury. Malik Hooker did not practice this week because of a foot injury. So I'm going to call it even, Steven, on that one between Kelce and Hill on who is the bigger threat the Colts need to worry about.
Man, I tell you what, the Colts got it right. You know, Josh McDaniels said yes, then he said no, and you ended up getting a guy that might be Coach of the Year. It's amazing how things work out in this league.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about he got McDaniels left the Colts standing at the altar.
Oh, right? Man, that's bad.
Left him at the altar. I mean, he said, I do. Let's get married. Let's keep the
relationship
going.
That's
bad. When it was time to sign that marriage certificate, my man said, deuces, I'm out.
Yeah, it was funny and watching it here. And you did mention the chance to watch Mahomes in person. Any doubt in your mind he's the league MVP?
No doubt in my mind. I mean, 50 touchdown passes. And what he was able to do from the offense, I think, you know, yeah, I honestly think it's probably a three-player race between Mahomes, Breeze, and Aaron Donald from the L.A. Rams. But I think it's, you know, Mahomes has got the clear lead in this situation. I would be surprised if Patrick Mahomes did not win the MVP race. But I am curious on how he's going to handle his first playoff game, though.
Yeah, it'll be curious. The weather's going to be a little dicey, a little rain, a little snow mix. I mean, it's going to be football weather, Mike. This is what we want, you know? You come to Kansas City, you want weather, you want good barbecue. I mentioned it to Matt Taylor, a play-by-play, you know, for the Colts. I said, if you want to know where to go, go talk to Bame and Braden Smith. Talk to the local guys that'll give you the jam.
And the big boys who know how to eat.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not going to mess you around. They're going to send you to where you need to go. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So I'm curious. So what's the consensus? What's the consensus on what you're saying? How are you calling this game?
You know what? I'm still mixed because I'm worried about that offensive line of the Colts. It's very good. Fewest sacks in the NFL. The Chiefs had the most sacks in the NFL, but I'm worried about the Chiefs secondary, and I'm worried about Eric Berry playing. You know, Andy Reid's been noncommittal, didn't practice again this week, and I'm concerned about it. So I'm slightly leaning Chiefs because of Patrick Mahomes, and I just don't want to see the same song and dance in Kansas City. Alex Smith gets to the postseason and lose. I feel Mahomes could be that difference maker, and I think getting the Colts here instead of Indianapolis, I would lean towards the Chiefs. This game was in Indy, I'd lean towards Indy.
Oh, that's a good choice. I'm going to go ahead and see it. I put you on the spot and ask for your prediction. I'm not going to give my prediction. I'm going to go ahead and hang up the phone and say it was a great conversation today.
Mike Wells, always a good friend of Henry Lake and I back in the day, and I have a great time in Kansas City, Mike. Really enjoy yourself, and I think we're going to see a fine football game. Thank you very much.
Hey, I appreciate it. Have a good one now.
There you go, Mike Wells. He covers the Indianapolis Colts. So far, we've heard from Matt Taylor. He's the voice of the Indianapolis Colts. We heard from Craig Stout, the defensive analyst for ArrowheadPride.com. And that was Mike Wells right there. I told you I'm covering this Chiefs-Colts game completely, and I'm in here 9 to midnight. And hopefully I'm talking about good and not sorrow. Because I've been kicked in the junk enough as a Chiefs fan that I'm not kidding, man. I have burnt couches, punched holes in walls. I'm a Kansas City dude.
Yeah.
And I live in disappointment. I told Evan Bain when he joined the show yesterday, he plays for the Colts now.
Yeah.
He went to high school, at least I'm a West. I went to his graduation party. I'm friends with the family. And I was sitting there. Here's this big dude. You know, he's going to Mizzou.
Yeah.
And I was thinking to myself.
You could take him? You think like I could take him? Is that what you're thinking?
You would get destroyed.
No, not me. I'm talking about you.
No.
You looked at him, you're like, I get you one shot. I got
15
you.
Years ago. Right. I
might. Maybe. Yeah.
He is a heavyweight champion wrestler in the state of Missouri. So in discus champion. I think he might take me.
All right.
But I was sitting there, and I was like, I don't know why this came to me. It's like an epiphany. And it's Jason Nivens, 989 The Rock.
That's
he
me.
Joins me on Friday nights for our beer segment coming up. Mm-hmm. I was like, this dude's never seen the Chiefs win a playoff game at home.
No.
He's 18 years old. You know, and then these people were going to bars at 21 years old, and they were going to Double Shift Brewing if they were open and drinking brews.
Look at that plug.
Speaking of Double Shift, they're going to be in here at 7:30 as we're doing Two Guys in a Brewery, and I big props to these fellas for coming out on a snowy night. Mm-hmm. You know what? Snow does not stop brewers. I've learned this.
No.
And but anyway, I was sitting there saying, this guy didn't win. Colts have won two playoff games at Arrowhead Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs have won two playoff games. That is unbelievable to think the Chiefs have won two playoff games at Arrowhead. We think of this team as like this great team.
Mm.
But as I've been saying, Alex Smith got you here.
Mm-hmm.
Pat Mahomes is supposed to get you over this.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel they've given Pat Mahomes the defense he deserves.
I think that's been the big Achilles heel, if you will, all season long, hasn't it?
Hasn't it been the
biggest thing?
It's been an Achilles heel. It's been a sore spot. It's been what everybody criticizes the Kansas City Chiefs for. Speaking of that, we'll talk about that next because I opened the show with the comparison Colin Cowherd made. And he talked about what the future of quarterbacking can be in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
Makes a good point. Mahomes, Andrew Luck. We're looking for these next, you know, Manning Brady's.
Mm-hmm.
Big Ben, mm-hmm. who's about to be done. Brady's over the hill, you know. I hope the Chiefs get the Patriots next round. I hope they just knock them out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking, you know, like the UFC fight. And so you're knocking them around a little bit, then you just lay that punch.
Sure.
Lay that punch and you just knock them out.
That's what you want.
That's what I want.
Okay. Okay.
Plus, well, plus my ex-wife was a Patriots fan. Screw her.
And the truth shall set you free.
The truth shall set me free. We'll do that. Then we've got a brewer coming in here. Double Shift Brewing from the Crossroads. If you haven't drank their beer, which I know Nivens.
Yes.
I'll tell the story, but we went down to the Crossroads to drink some beer one night, and we went to Double Shift.
Mm-hmm.
He loves stouts.
Mm-hmm.
He bought a growler.
I bought a growler.
A growler, too.
I bought a growler that following Saturday, and I'll tell you what happened that night.
Tell us.
After this.
What a tease! We tell us that next! That's right. That's right. What a great promo that was, right?
Yeah, that's good. Was that you?
That voice guy.
Was that you?
Yeah. It was me because I'm pumped up for this game tomorrow.
You are?
Yeah.
You feel like it's...
I'm not even going to sleep. I don't even care how much it snows, man.
Yeah.
Let it snow.
Yeah. Are you starting to bring Christmas back? Is that what you're doing?
I'm not bringing anything
Christmas
back.
In January?
No. I'm hoping to sit here and party from 9 to midnight with Chiefs fans.
Tomorrow night.
Because I've had some rough ones this week. I've had some very... down people.
Yeah,
this week. I'm not kidding you. I've had cold.
Well, yeah. What's been the feeling? What's the temperature in Kansas City right now? Not the actual temperature. I'm talking the Chiefs temperature right
fear.
Now. Really?
Fear.
Is it a lot of bubbling up in the stomach?
There's been fear.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of fear.
A lot of squirts.
The boogeyman's coming to town.
A lot of squirts.
Indianapolis Colts. Because something weird happens every time we play this team.
Yeah. What is the deal?
2013, they come back 38-10.
Uh huh.
We get a third quarter lead, 38-10. We
nuts.
Lose. Bananas. 2006, they had a terrible defense against the run. And I had a text line saying, oh, their defense. No, they had the worst defense. Chiefs give up 132 yards a game on the ground. They gave up 173 on the ground.
Okay.
But they got to the playoffs and they turned things around.
Okay.
They shut the Chiefs down. 14 carries, 32 yards for Larry Johnson.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs had to have, like, weird things happen. They had to have, like, 12 things happen the final day to get in the playoffs with Herm Edwards.
Yeah, I remember that one.
Rewind, 2003, no punt game. Dick Vermeil, great offense. We don't punt. They don't punt. Priest told them swumbled. Only turnover of possession
lost service. 1995.
Are you going?
You go 1995. Lynn Elliott missed three kicks. 32-yarder, 35-yarder, 42-yarder.
That was Ray Finkel. Yeah, laces out, of course.
Yeah, and thanks to him, my couch is French fries.
You still have a couch from 1995?
And I burn it.
You burned it?
You know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to burn couches.
Why is that we riot when we didn't?
Why do we burn couches? That's the first thing we go and burn.
Now there was a lot of fireworks that went off when the Royals won the World Series in 2015, but we didn't riot. We didn't set anything on fire. We didn't turn over any cars.
No, there was no arrest. There's like 800,000 people. Nobody was arrested. Like, we're not doing things right. Because like when Boston has a celebration, they get arrested.
Yeah. I mean, Denver? No. Yeah. Denver.
Yeah.
Was it Denver?
Yeah, they get arrested.
Yeah,
man.
They set couches on fire. So let's not do that.
And Double Shift Brewing that's coming in here in a few minutes.
Yeah.
I guarantee they'd like a parade downtown.
Of course.
800,000 people walking around probably wanting a few beers.
Do you think that sits in the minds of Chiefs players that saw the layout and everything that went on when the Royals won in 15? That this is something that they could experience
instead
of a sea of blue, it's a sea of red.
I think so.
You think so?
I think it did. I think it was one of those situations where they saw how this town embraced the Royals,
mm-hmm.
and they saw the Royals out drinking and celebrating with everybody in town.
Yeah,
and I think they kind of wanted it. One thing about the 2014 Royals is they didn't have playoff experience. You know, people say Mahomes doesn't have. He didn't have this playoff experience.
None of them did.
And they bring up, you know what? I watched the college football national title game with Trevor Lawrence.
Fantastic game. Yes.
Roll through Notre Dame and beat Alabama like I've never seen anybody beat Alabama. No playoff experience.
Yeah, no.
Alabama's quarterback Tua set at the Heisman Trophy ceremony, and he has a ring on his finger.
Yeah. So if let's hypothesize here, right? Let's assume we beat the Colts and we take on whoever the following week for the AFC Championship. You want the Patriots.
I wouldn't mind the Chargers.
Sure.
We beat them 9 out of 10 times.
Right. But let's assume that we roll through the AFC Championship and we're heading to the Super Bowl. Do you see Kelce, Mahomes, those guys out at Power and Light, like the way Hosmer and company did, buying rounds for everybody somewhere?
There ain't no doubt in that.
You think so?
You want to hear a caller? Now, the Indianapolis TV station called and won some of these callers. I'm going to play you Reggie in Anaheim, right?
Okay.
Reggie in Anaheim.
I've heard him before. He's called up a few times. Yeah.
Listen to how down he is.
Okay.
And what he said he would be acting like if the Chiefs lost. This is kind of the sentiment.
All right.
It's the boogeyman.
All right.
And talk to a man who's always hype. What's up, Reggie?
Yes, sir, man. Hey, man, my mind is on the Chiefs all the time, and all the time my mind is on the Chiefs, man.
You know what it is.
I wanted to ask you this, though, because I've been hearing a lot of the sentiment in Chiefs Kingdom. You know, obviously, we're all freaking out. A lot of us are freaking out. I'm nervous about the game, personally, just because of recent history.
If you're scared, get a dog, Reggie. I've told you that.
Yeah, man. I might need to go to church that Saturday morning, man. I don't even like going to church on Saturdays. But, you know what I'm saying? The thing of it is, like, there was no perfect, like, I would have rather played the Colts than to have played the Chargers in this round, because I don't want to lose. I don't want to take a chance on losing to Phillip Rivers.
Not me. We beat them 9 out of 10 times, man. We spank them. Man. We own them. That's a 90% ratio. Yeah. Boom. Give them to me.
Yeah, but they beat us last time, and they should have beat us in week one, too, if we're being honest. So I don't want to take a chance on losing to them at this point. Now, AFC Championship game. I'm all for it.
All right.
I didn't want to play the Patriots, because we all know how they cheat up in Foxborough in the playoffs. They get a lot of home.
There you go. That's enough of that. That was the sentiment of it, man.
Yeah.
That was the sentiment of it.
Yeah.
This if the Chiefs lose to the Colts.
Yeah.
We're back to where we were. Back to where we were.
You think we're back to where we were?
Well, it upsets me because.
You don't have any
windows in the NFL are extremely short,
mm-hmm.
extremely short.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel they tried to fix this defense.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Colts got the GM that was hired in January, Chris Ballard. Mm-hmm. It was next in line to John Dorsey.
Okay.
So the Colts snagging. Then we get rid of John Dorsey in the summer and hire Brett Veach. Ballard would have been our GM.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent draft that he had.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's kind of a Ballard versus Veach game as well.
You think so?
He's going to – Veach can spend the whole draft on defense once again, which is highly unusual to have a top 10 quarterback and be able to spend two straight years on defense in the draft. But
I've heard you make mention that before. I think – I mean, isn't that – you got to look at some linemen and defense? Isn't that kind of where you've got to
build the line. I mean, you know? The Colts went from Andrew Luck being the most – not Andrew Luck because he didn't play last year. He was hurt. But they went from giving up the most sacks in the NFL last year to the fewest this year.
Okay.
That's their strength. Our strength is actually the pass rush.
Yeah.
We're tied with the Steelers for most sacks in the NFL, believe it or not.
Yeah, I know. Now, do you think that looking at the future, let's just kind of look down the future, right? Do you think that the next year or two there could become some offensive guys that get out there free agency and maybe even will look to do a pay cut to play with Mahomes?
No. I can see offensive players doing it.
That's what I mean.
Although Sammy Watkins didn't. He took $16
million. That's true.
How would you like to be Tyreek Hill making 630 Gs? And this cat, Sammy Watkins, can't get on the field. And this guy, Tyreek Hill's one of those explosive players in the NFL, but that's part of the break.
Yeah, I mean, that's.
But he's going to get paid.
Oh, yes.
And Chris Jones is going to get paid.
Yes.
That's why he's the deal. And I bring up the Seahawks all the time. They went to two Super Bowls and won one with a third-round quarterback, Russell Wilson, before they paid him.
Yeah.
They won with Richard Sherman being a fifth-round pick. They had the Legion of Boom, the best secondary we've ever seen.
Short-lived,
Byron Maxwell, fifth-round pick. Cam Chancellor, sixth-round pick.
Yeah.
Earl Thomas, the only first-round pick they had in the secondary. Curse, Baldwin, all these undrafted
guys.
But there was a window, and they said, if we're not paying, because right now, you're paying, well, Kareem Hunt, we'll put him in this equation.
Right.
But when he was here, leading rusher in the NFL, you had Mahomes, Hunt, Kelce, and Hill paying him less than $10
million. Mm-hmm.
Paying him $6 million less than Sammy Watkins.
Yeah.
That core.
Yeah.
That core going to the Pro Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to win.
Yeah.
But you didn't pay other people. You got to win, man.
Yeah.
You got to win before you pay that piper. When the check comes due, man.
It's true.
The Royals' check came due.
Yeah.
And they don't have Hosmer, Moose, and these guys, and Kane, these guys around.
Yeah,
check came due.
They kind of had to unload
check
that,
came
didn't
due.
They?
Yeah.
Check came due.
But you know what? The Royals cashed in.
Yeah.
Give Dayton Moore all the credit in the world. He cashed in.
Yeah.
He traded five lefties away for Quaid and Zobrist. Said, I'm going all in. I want a ring.
And they got the ring.
Give him credit. Mm-hmm. That's why Dayton Moore is one of the best general managers in all sports.
Yeah,
the best general manager.
Are we going to switch gears now and start talking Royals?
We're going to shift gears, and we're going to start talking double shift brewing.
This is
what the show does.
That's right, because I have.
We're all football, and then we're beer for half an hour, which this is like the ultimate dude show.
Yeah.
Because if you're talking beer, if you're talking football, this is what we like is dudes and ladies, too. There's ladies out there.
Wait, where are you going with this, man?
I'm just saying, man.
I do have.
You want a bro hug?
Not really. I'm good.
Before we do this segment.
I'm all right. But I do have something to fill in from the last segment that I didn't fill in, which is what happened that night after I got my growler from Double Shift.
That sounds like a good tease. Double Shift Brewing in studio next. What's that time of week?
Whatever happened to our super duper opener?
I don't know.
What happened to it, Julio?
I'm off my game tonight. This is what happens when you dish me for 3 weeks in a row.
Yeah, it has been 3 weeks, hasn't it? 2-3 weeks?
I've let you down, Julio.
Ladies and gentlemen, now your favorite segment of all time on 610 Sports Radio. It's the
two guys in a brewery.
And Nivens from 98.9 The Rock, Kansas City Rock Station.
Now, what I love it is when you guys go try these breweries, because we have a text line. And I know that when I have some of these breweries in, you guys go try their beer out. And that's why they're in here, to sell you on their beer and why they're going. But Double Shift Brewing in the Crossroads District, right next to Border Brewing, across the street from Grinders, if you're trying to
part of the Bermuda Triangle down there.
It's kind
there,
of a Bermuda Triangle, not too far from Stockyards. And the
fancy,
whole crew there.
Fancy. Look at that.
But Double Shift Brewing opened in 2015.
Yeah.
And in studio now, Jeremy Warford, who's in the tap room, and Brian Stewart, who's the head brewer.
Go ahead, hit those mics on. Yeah,
go ahead and hit the mics
on. Say hello, gentlemen.
Now.
And get close up on the mic. Make sure you get close up on it.
Now, somebody that's not here that owns the business is actually a Kansas City, Missouri firefighter who happens to be working the night, Aaron.
Yep, he's working.
Hey, buddy. Sorry you can't be here. I hope he's listening.
but how does that work?
I would assume he is. He's like, I got to make sure these guys don't screw things up.
Everybody's got a story. I mean, we had Steve Cyrus in here that's a C-130 pilot in the military, and he works at the railroad, too, and does it. But, a firefighter opening a brewery is pretty cool, and I'm sure the firefighters support their fellow guy.
Oh, they do.
They come down quite a bit, yeah?
You see him in there, every once in a while, but...
Yeah,
probably pretty safe drinking place beers. As far as not having a fire.
Oh, yeah. Also being a giant cinder block building, it's pretty hard to burn down as well. Right.
So is that where double shift the name comes from then? Is that the
effectively, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Basically just working, you know, a double shift. Also just kind of buys into everybody's kind of got multiple hats these days.
Yeah.
So.
Anymore it does seem like being a Renaissance man or woman is where it's at in today's economy.
Well, so many brewers have gone from home brewer. That's what Steve did.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have, you know, they had home brew kits and they made beer.
Yeah.
I've done the same thing, but it tasted like crap and it was orange. And I invited people over to
we're
drink
gonna
it.
We're going
to
try it again.
And we
man.
Ended up going to my fridge to drink beer. Hey, I decided to go to the pros instead of do the amateur route.
Well, you and I are going to give it a try one more time. we're going to make a Baraggio beer, all right?
Yeah. Oh, man.
But how did.
Nibbins and I, by the way, have our logo designed.
Yeah, we got it all.
It's
going to
be 8 because he's on FM. I'm on AM.
Let's not give it away.
You don't want to give it away?
No, someone's going to steal it?
No, don't give it away. Don't give it away. All I know is that it's...
we got to figure out how to make beer first,
though. Yeah. Or...
this is a problem.
Or, wait a minute.
Hold on. We got several issues.
Did Aaron know how to brew beer, or did he find you guys?
He was all... You know, both of us started off home brewing, so he kind of picked me up right after we opened, and I was kind of there just to help out for the first, you know, probably 3-4 months, and then kind of took over operations about a year after that.
So you guys went into it together then? Is that sort
of
how
he started on his own. He hired me right at the beginning to help out.
Okay.
But Brian Stewart, you were a brewer, a home brewer. Did you work for a brewery? What was your experience before you jumped into this?
Before this, I mean, my life before beer was in journalism, actually. I did radio for a while growing up.
Horrible profession.
Yeah, I know, right?
I can tell with the voice.
Nothing
man,
but
jerks.
I appreciate it. Right? Nothing but psychopaths.
Give me a Sunday.
No, absolutely no, not.
So anyway, do you have another job? Or is this all beer for you?
Right now it's all beer all the time.
Can't beat that.
You're right? Now,
can't beat that?
No. Yeah, exactly. Now I'm there full time, and I've been doing that full time for about 2 years now.
Okay.
Basically taking over all of the heavy lifting and all of the numbers whenever, you know, Aaron's not there to do all of those, you know, that nonsense.
Does Aaron have a big say in the beer? Because when the new Axiom guys come in, and they're all brewers.
Yeah,
and
they really
one
are,
of them might have an idea, and the other one might not like it, but they'll let them make their beer anyway. And I know there's some creative. Now, I'm not saying this dissonance between them, but they all think, you know, different styles of beers at times. Sure. And is this all you, or does Aaron come up with ideas, or is this all your baby?
Right now, it's all me.
Your baby, huh?
Trust me to not put the brewery out of business. So.
You notice how he flexed right there when he said
it's all about
straight out of the business, yeah.
It's all about it. Now, Jeremy, you run the tap room.
Yeah, I work in the tap room, slinging beers.
Slinging beers. What's it like, a double shift? What kind of clientele do you see? Because I will say this, and I bring this up all the time, strange days in the River Market. They've come in here as well.
Mm-hmm.
They sent out one tweet.
One tweet?
One tweet.
That's what he says.
Because we're opening tomorrow, and it's full.
One tweet.
It's like, because craft beer drinkers talk. Right. That's how I found out.
Yeah.
I had a friend send me the tweet and say, look, it's opening.
One tweet.
Yeah. You find that your beer drinkers are just guys aren't walking or the gals aren't walking in off the street. They're craft beer fans, aren't they?
Oh yeah, we get a good mix there. Everything from the craft beer aficionados to just actually a lot of people walking in. First Fridays are
of course
kind of sure.
You guys are like, insane on that.
Yeah. So
and wall what's wall interesting people. Is even
this
as
this is first Friday, isn't it?
No, that was last weekend. It was last weekend.
Oh, good point.
It was. We have a shop in the Bottoms.
Radio,
know.
We're bad at math.
Yeah.
And calendars.
No, but I can tell you the first Fridays now has reached this sort of, I guess you, I don't know if I'd call it an apex or whatever, but even when the weather is horrible, it still is very busy.
Yes.
Out in the crossroads, in the West Bottoms. I mean, it's really kind of insane how this is just kind of, it's reached that I don't think it's plateauing, but it's definitely reached that high water mark where no matter what's going on, people are going to be out and about for it, whether that's to go see art or you know, or to go buy, you know, someone's old mirror or overalls, what they do. I need to get a new pair of overalls, so I'm putting it out there.
All the things.
And those on the text line asking where this is.
Yeah.
412 East 18th Street, Kansas City, Missouri, 64108.
So you guys, I mean, they're basically walking distance off of the streetcar to the east.
It's a little easier to talk about them because people know where the crossroads are.
Yeah.
And they know,
of course,
where that area is. And that area was waiting for
you guys will always have a very soft spot in my heart because
very soft
as I teased the last two segments, My wife was pregnant this time a year ago, right. And it was actually in February. And me, Bink here, and the old PD, we all went out to just kind of bounce around at some breweries and whatnot. And we went into a double shift. It was the last one before we went to get a bite to eat across the street. And I had tried the English. What was it again? The English?
Even more English.
Even more English. Just loved it. Just wonderful flavor. So fast forward 3 days later to a Saturday, and we had dropped off my stepdaughter to a birthday party, and my wife and I were running a couple errands, and she's at this point just massively pregnant. And I was like, I want to swing into this brewery because I really like this beer that I got, and I want to get it. And so that way when Pickles is born, I can open it up and celebrate.
That was Wolf.
That's his middle name. Oh. Pickles is a little nickname.
Pickles Wolf.
Pickles is a little nickname we came up with.
I love it.
And so that night, a couple hours later, after getting the little growler, all of a sudden she's like, oh, my water broke. We got to do this. And boom. That night.
She had the baby at double shift.
Had the baby at double right shift. There. It was fantastic.
So what do you name the baby double shift?
We used the placenta in a new brew. It's fantastic. Oh.
Brian's called Abby.
It's called afterbirth. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Brian's naked. Those wheels are spinning.
Yeah.
What can we do with that?
Yeah. But no, it was so, yeah. I mean, we cracked it open. We had a glass each. And, a dark beer is great for women that are breastfeeding and all that stuff. So it worked out in our favor. But yeah, I mean, it was just wild because in the parking lot, she's like, we were still what we thought was 2 weeks out from him being born. But no, she was already starting to contract and didn't really realize it until the water broke.
But you had your beer and you were sitting there enjoying the beer when the baby was born.
I still got the growler at home. I kept it. It's got 210 on it from the, it says English, and I kept it at home.
But Jeremy, here's the thing too. I've learned this lesson with my friends that aren't craft beer drinkers, but are now. I've got a handful of people that weren't drinking craft beer, and I said, "What are you talking about? This is like the most American beer you can drink. I mean, American hops and everything. It's like, and it's handcrafted. I mean, they care about their product. They sample and they test it. I mean, this is not big beer companies here. This is people that really care. It's like an artist, But do you find people coming in wanting that, factory, mass produced beer, and so they ask you on your menu what tastes like a Coors Light or what tastes like a Miller Lite, and you kind of guide them in a direction to something that might fill their palate but maybe change it a little bit?
Oh, yeah. That's job number one.
Is that job number one?
Yeah. Like, we get a lot of people that come in, and they've never had craft beer before, and kind of got to walk them through the whole thing and maybe even open up their palates to something completely different that they wouldn't have even expected.
And they always find something they like, too, because you always give them little samples. Mm-hmm. I've always noticed this. People that are hesitant to drink craft beer, but they go because they want to hang out with you or whatever. But then there's always something. There is literally every beer, a place that has something different for a different taste. And I'm sure you've seen that too, where people saying, you know what, I actually like this more than I thought.
And I think you guys do it. I know just about every craft brewery does it. You have flights. You have the 4 or 5 smaller samples that you can try, not so much samples, but you buy like, $10, get you 5 of them or whatever, and they're like 4 or 5 ounces, and that can really give you an idea. And I almost feel like as we've been, you and I, Bink, have been talking about quote-unquote craft beer for a few years now. In fact, I think we had a Facebook friendiversary not too long ago, buddy. Hey, congratulations. Thanks for being my pal. But I feel like
for balloons and stuff.
I feel like the notion of craft beer almost gets like this negative connotation because it almost sounds a little bourgeoisie, if you will. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like it's like, dude, it's just beer. Like try this one, and you're like, oh wow, this one got me kind of drunk. Well, it should. It's 12% ABV.
Absolutely.
Like, so I don't know. I feel like as we move forward, it's nice to maybe just kind of drop the craft and just be like, we got good beer over here. Microbrewery. I don't know. Maybe we look up something new. Like up and coming beer. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're talking about. But you know what I mean? Like I feel like because sometimes people are like, oh man, just this sounds kind of snooty, and it's like, no, not really.
But we have Double Shift Brewing in the studio. We come back, we do our favorite part. We taste the beer and find out why you make the beer that you make.
All right. Well,
very interested in this. We have Brian. We have Jeremy in the studio. We talk more beer with Double Shift next.
It's Friday, so crack one open with two guys in a brewery. On Bink at Night, here's Bink and Nivens from 98.9 The Rock.
There's the intro.
So good. So good.
There's the intro. Double Shift Brewing in the house from the Crossroads District, owned by a firefighter.
Uh-huh.
Support. Mm-hmm. Support firefighters in this town are probably out there having to drive through some snow tonight.
Yeah, right.
And mm-hmm. shout out to right. KDOT and MoDOT because they've been texting because they're listening to the show.
Yeah.
They're driving around putting the salt trucks down.
Yeah.
You know, the people out here working on a Friday night to make our roads safe.
Thank you.
Thank right. you.
Appreciate you.
Thank you guys for what you do. All right, the beer.
Now, yeah, I would appreciate you the guys beer. For the beer.
The beer.
Let's
the
talk
beer.
About
the
it.
Beer.
All right.
Let's I mentioned talk to about you before, it. I'm not a fan of grapefruit, but I like grapefruit beer. I'm not a fan of coffee, but I love coffee beer.
Perfect.
It's kind of weird how beer is. But your beer that I really enjoy, it is my favorite. It's the Brunch Pirate. Full-bodied Imperial Stout. Got your attention.
Yeah, I'm a stout guy.
Aged in bourbon barrels with barrel-aged or barrel-aged maple syrup and vanilla. 11.1%. The IBUs, just 35 IBUs, but just this is a monster.
Nuts. Just
this,
nuts.
This is a man beer. And ladies can drink it too. I'm just saying it's a
brunch
it's a
pirate.
Chest,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The brunch pirate. It goes so good with breakfast, man. Some pancakes or whatever. And you know,
yeah.
There's just so many food pairings that, like, this is what I'd slam some pancakes to.
You do pancakes
that's our
no matter
recommended
what time
pairing.
Of day. Is that what it is? Yeah.
Is that why it's designed? I mean, this is what I would eat pancakes with.
Right.
What about a salmon Benedict? What would you put with that, Bink? What would you put with the salmon Benedict? Maybe maybe some Justaloon, the squash.
I was thinking of the Justaloon too.
Yeah. Huh? That's a good beer.
Is that yeah?
Right. How about this one? This one interests me too. The Smoke Ritual.
Mm-hmm. I did take a look at that.
Brewed by the assistant brewers of Double Shift.
Yep.
This quad was brewed with oak smoked wheat with citrus peel. Wheat. Now that sounds
wheat.
Interesting.
Wheat? Yeah, that's a good one. We actually just tapped that one 2 weeks ago.
We're smelling it.
This is that one is our third brew.
This is this bourbon. This is.
Oh yeah, this one's Brunch Pirate. So yeah, this one right. is actually.
Oh man, it's good beer.
First brewed in 2016 as Breakfast Pirate, and we took part of that beer, threw it into some Tomstown bourbon barrels, and basically let that rest for about a year, and then after about 10 months, kind of took our first taste of it and realized it was incredibly boozy.
Yeah.
So we, you know, basically had...
bourbon barrels can be incredibly boozy. Founders,
as somebody who's right. not allowed to have bourbon or whiskey, I gotta watch myself on this.
I think if I'm not mistaken, they own like the most bourbon barrels. I mean, they have kind of cornered the market on
that.
The KBS beer, whatever, they have truck chasers that'll go like $20 a four pack, whatever
right.
it is. But it's
right.
very... Right. But the thing I like about this is it's not overpowering with the bourbon.
Mm-mm. You can taste it, though.
The maple syrup. It's got that maple kick with it.
See, for me, the lead is definitely the bourbon, without a doubt. But it's also because I don't drink bourbon or whiskey.
But this
anymore.
Is aged, and that's what makes it special. Yeah.
It is aged, and then it's blended as well with fresh. So this is the second time we've done it. So this has beer that we use in 2016, 2017, and then also 2018 for this year. So it's got 3 years of Breakfast Pirate. Aged, and next year, as long as the beer keeps going, we're going to keep blending.
Is this one of your more popular beers then? Yeah.
Well, we do it once a year, so definitely. Okay. You know, this one, I think we sold out in like 8 hours.
It's a talked about beer. There are people that will go down and truck chasers. Or beer chasers. No, I'm not kidding. They will show up and they'll drink.
I know exactly.
It's like Andy Reid. I once heard a story about him.
Yeah.
That he knows when barbecue restaurants, the burnt ends come out, like when they fresh come out. Like
you can just smell
some
it.
Some cab driver told him. And I even asked him about it one day. He literally knows barbecue restaurants, like when the best time to get ribs and burnt ends or whatever, because he knows the time to come out. Just like this brunch pirate.
You guys have found you've got a good group of repeat customers, clientele
that
come in. Yeah. Become your pals and kind of give you their feeling on new beers or maybe like, hey, we're trying this one out. I mean, how important is it to have the outside voice or palate other than your own? Because you don't want to become, I assume, an echo chamber amongst all yourselves.
Yeah, true.
But, you know, but having those customers that come in pretty regularly.
Yeah, they do. And it is really cool too, you know, talking to them and seeing how they've watched us grow over the past few years. It's because our identity is kind of changed, is you know how we started off making a little more classic style beers, and now we're in this whole realm of we just do off the wall weird.
Yeah.
So that's sort of what we're becoming known for, but also maintaining you know the integrity of the brewing process, and you know seeing you know how they've watched us, and also one of the benefits of these people that come in as well is they also bring us really cool beer that we never have time to go out
Oh, okay, sure. Bring a little sample in.
Yeah, they're like, hey, I had this beer. You should try this and let me know what you think, basically trying to get me to have some ideas. Get me a little drunk and say, what do you think about that?
Yeah.
Well, how valuable are the beer fests you go to when you get to meet all these different brewers? You get to talk to them about your craft. I mean, that's got to be, you know, like the Parkville Brew Fest and stuff like that, when you can actually sit down and I guess it's a little bit of joy when another brewer drinks your beer and really likes it.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I guess that
how many different like festivals, like Bink's talking about, beer festivals, do you guys try and attend? You know, not as double shift,
do you separate
your personal life when you're doing these beer things and go to these festivals, or is it we're gonna go with double shift in mind?
Yeah, I mean, I sort of have a always say yes policy when it comes to beer festivals. So this year I already signed up for like 15.
Oh wow,
which is
not just in Kansas City though.
No, I mean, we're going down to Fayetteville for Frostfest, which is
Fossil Fayetteville, man. The beer scene in Fayetteville's ridiculous.
Settlement. So you got Fayetteville to the south. What else?
We're going to Springfield for Flyover for Mothers.
Oh, Mothers.
We did Prairie Land down in Wichita for CSB in October of last year, so I imagine they'll do that again. So, yeah, there's just always cool things you can always travel to, and I know I love the opportunity to say, hey, I'm going to go out somewhere and just hang out.
Yeah.
We also did GABF last year, too, in Denver, which was pretty rad time.
Yeah, one of the beer meccas of the world.
Yeah, for sure.
That in Michigan, I've got to get like Grand Rapids or something at some point, too. That's kind of on my list.
Yeah, what about getting up there to where Handsome Hansen moved up to? Minneapolis? Yeah.
That's on the list, too.
Yeah, for sure.
They've got one, like you can't even throw a rock without hitting a brewery there.
Yeah. Grand Rapids is intense for that, from what I understand.
All right, so we got the Brunch Pirate. What else? All brewers usually have an IPA.
Yeah.
Oh, it's kind of a staple to have an IPA. Or a blonde ale, something that's a little bit lighter. But what is your best-selling? Well, obviously, the Brunch Pirate's extremely popular. What is one of your beers that people come in and buy? It's like a staple, Jeremy. What do they want?
Number one seller is Tessellation. It's Mosaic IPA.
Tessellation, the Mosaic IPA. This has got the Mosaic hops, tropical fruit, and floral notes. This is a very good summer beer.
It's got berry and mango.
Very good all-the-time beer. It was great with food. I mean, it's just
6.7%. Again, it's not for the sleight of heart.
No.
I just love it. I just love your commitment to the ABVs, no matter what.
I love a brewer that's not shy about ABVs. We've had some brewers that are a little bit shy about crushable beers.
But our average ABV is like 8.3 right now. It's pretty ridiculous.
You guys don't play, man.
But even so, like even when it's like, it's low ABV, 4.2, which is great because I can have 26 of them in a setting.
Smell those hops.
I
haven't gotten to it yet. Hold on.
This one right here is Power Moves. This is a hazy IPA, as you can tell from the...
Oh, yeah.
Ridiculous aesthetic of it.
Looks like
aromatic. Smells tangerine.
I would say for me personally, the IPAs, my palate or...
Oh, it's got pine, too.
Appreciation for them has increased over the last year as I never was a big IPA guy.
Right.
But I'm definitely... Or pale ale. But I'm definitely getting into that.
I didn't know this had pine. I love... Like, the Deschutes pine needle beers.
Right.
I love... Pine, like I can't find it. I did not know this had pine.
Yeah.
Well, this is one of the flavor.
It tastes like a tree.
Yeah, this one is mostly Idaho 7, which is really pine forward. And I kind of get a lot of like almost wintergreen qualities out of it.
It smells delicious.
I mean, this is almost a beer you would have at Christmas on the beach. It's, you know, that's what it tastes like, right? I've never thought
about Christmas on the beach.
Yeah, like down at Tybee Island down in Georgia. You know, you're like, I'm going to be out there.
Christmas on the beach.
Yeah, Christmas on the beach, man.
Drinking some Power Moves.
I think I see what you're doing next year.
So this is extremely popular.
This is good.
Yeah, this one
is
really sells good. Crazy well.
Yeah, and so is this one that sits on the menu year round, or is this a seasonal thing?
Sort of. It's kind of we kind of have issues sourcing. You know, usually one third of the hops on this one between Vic Secret and Galaxy because they're both kind of hard to acquire and also really expensive.
Okay.
So it's sort of our kind of year round, but not really year round hazy IPA.
So let's say this weekend, someone listening is going to be in town, maybe for the game.
You're not going for the weed beer again, are you?
No. I would not. But let's say that they come down the crossroads. Right. You know, they come to Double Shift. They're pretty much standard Budweiser or Coors Light guy.
No.
But like, what would you offer up them? You know, let's say they get a flight of beers, right? Mm-hmm. What would you offer them up to entertain their palate first time out the gate, like trying a craft beer? What would you recommend
on our menu right now?
Yeah, on the menu right now. Yeah, what you're doing right now?
Generally, I'll give them tessellation.
Okay.
Just because I think it's a very approachable IPA.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's...
It's not a lot of bite to it. It's not bitter. Right.
Right.
Like
yeah. Yeah. It's very fruit forward. It's very easy drinking. I find a lot of people tend to go towards that. Or a lot of beer drinkers that say they normally just drink a lot of the macro lagers actually tend to open up towards sours. I find that if I give them a sour, especially with some of our sours, ours aren't like enamel
shaped. Yeah, I found that wine drinkers over beer drinkers will drink sours.
Yeah, right. So they relate to them in a way of like wine, and they like the fruit forward quality of them. So.
Okay.
All right. Man, I tell you what, guys, I can't thank you guys enough. 412 East 18th Street, Kansas City, Missouri, 64108. Good chance you're going to see Jeremy in there.
Absolutely.
He's in the tap room all the time. Good chance you're going to see Brian Stewart walking around and talking about his beer. I'm sure you don't mind talking beer with people if they want to meet the brewer.
Yeah, not so much.
Like compliments. Do you ever hear compliments to the chef?
Oh, yeah, we definitely get that.
Okay.
Double shift. Get there this weekend.
Double shift.
Go. What's your hours? Real quick, what's your hours?
We're open Tuesday through Sundays.
Okay.
Weekdays at 4, and we close at either 10:30 or midnight, and then open at noon Saturday, Sunday.
Sweet.
There you go.
We need to hit it, man.
You don't
live far.
No, we can walk down and stumble home.
He took a garage and calls it the Baraggio, and it's like it's like an old-fashioned garage.
It's a single-car detached garage that we turned into a bar.
It looks like 1970s just threw up in there.
It's awesome.
Yes. And then he's got like a tiki bar on the side of his house.
Yeah.
It's like multiple bars at his house.
And I have a hillbilly hot tub inside the bathhouse, which is fantastic. So
you're just going to text me the address?
We're coming
and
to hang out.
And we just got done building the stage. So
we're working on
going
to have a stage, beer.
Yeah.
You need to get some double shift kegs.
And it turns out the floodlights are actually hardwired to the street lights, so they come on, and I got a red one and a green one for the holidays. So come on.
Let's do it. Jeremy, Brian, I appreciate you guys coming in. I recommend Double Shift. People have been asking about Double Shift down on the crossroads. This beer, I'm telling you, is fantastic. The ABVs will not disappoint you whatsoever. Trust me, these guys ain't playing.
Do it for the kids.
Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. There you go. When we come back, Nivens and I will break down this Mahomes versus Luck battle that I've been wanting to talk about for so long. Plus, we'll hear what NFL Network had to say as well. We'll do that next. Dream of open up a